Hey guys, it's Gabriel Brown here with another podcast installation. A look into my life and how credit made my imaginations come true. All right. So today I want to respond to quite a few inquiries and questions that were put to me via email and calls to my office about data reports or consumer files. All right. When I say consumer files or data reports, I'm speaking of the same thing. But many people are still a little confused at what's the difference between a data report, a consumer report, and a credit report. All right. And of course, in our Wealth Score Academy, all right, we teach that there's 70 plus data reports that you must request, review, and restrict, all right, in order to get additional potential for credit approvals. And I've proven this to my students in the Wealth Score Academy. Now, let's go into the questions that I've been asked about the data reports. Let me see if I can explain that. The credit report, let's start there. It has about four or five sections. All right, the first section of a credit report is your personal information. The second, well, let's talk about personal information. That's your name, your address, your date of birth, your social security number, your current address, your previous address, your current employer, and your previous employer. All right, that information is what is in the personal information of your credit report. And then there's also some security measures that government puts most of us through to confirm that our social security number belongs to us. It's called OFAC. And that's OFAC. And that's something also that you can find at the top of your credit report in the personal information section. Beneath the personal information, the second section of your credit report or your consumer report is your public records. Public records are anything you went to court for, like a judgment, a tax lien, all right? These items will be considered public records, and they will be in section number two. Section three will be essentially the body of your credit report, which is the list of your accounts and your relationship with your creditors, that being what's the limit on your accounts, what's the open date on your accounts? What's the date of last activity on your accounts? What's the payment history on your accounts? If you're late, it will show 30, 60, 90 or more. All right. And all of this information will be in section number three of your credit reports. All right. And then in section number four, you'll have some inquiries, hard inquiries, that is, hard inquiries. That is inquiries where a creditor has accessed your credit report for review in a decision for a credit approval or declination. And then there's a fifth section, which is in your consumer report, but not your credit report. And that fifth section is your promotional inquiries. That is not on your credit report. That will be on your consumer report. Okay. Now, if you recall, a credit report is something you get from a creditor or that a creditor reviews. Typically, they don't give it to you, but they may show it to you, but they review a copy of your credit report for an application for credit. A consumer report is what you will get from the credit bureaus when you want to review your annual report. Once a year, you'll get a consumer report for free. Or whenever you've been declined credit, you can potentially get a free consumer report from Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Those are the three major credit bureaus. Of course, there are some minor credit bureaus that I teach about too. There's three specific minor credit bureaus that you also should request in addition to Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Okay, so those are the consumer reports, the ones you check when you want to review your credit yourself, your one annual free report. Then your credit reports are what the creditors review when you're applying for credit. Now, what are the data reports or the consumer files? Okay. Now, the five or the five sections of a consumer report or the four sections of a credit report that I just discussed, each one of those sections is considered data that comprises that portion of that report. For instance, a data report would be information about where you live, what's the average crime rate in your community or your zip code, what's the average education rate in your community or zip code, what's the average income in your community or zip code, okay, what's the average value of your home in your community or zip code. And there's even a data report that will tell what's the average credit score in your neighborhood. All right, now these bites or pieces or fragments of information that I just spoke of are data reports that credit bureaus or creditors can buy from private organizations in addition to your credit report. Okay, so we know the credit report has four sections, but in each section, there are other companies, private organizations, that create additional reports with additional data that can be purchased to see a more granular or a more comprehensive overview of an applicant for credit above and beyond the credit report. Okay? Look at a data report as if it was the actual sand, right? We know it, sand builds bricks. So sand has so many granular pieces. Look at each granular piece as data. And some banks, some lending institutions, and some creditors like additional data outside of the data on the credit report. Okay? Look at the credit report as the brick. The sand has come together to build the brick. So the data reports build credit reports. And then credit reports build credit scores. Now, I submit that data reports have become so widely used in the last 10 to 15 years that many of us citizens, consumers, do not even know that these data reports are out there and causing negative impacts on credit decisions, because the information in data reports in many cases can be inaccurate. All right, it can be out of date, or it can be flat out not your information. And because of this, you have effects from these data reports, negative effects, that cause you to be declined for credit or will cause you to get a reduced approval amount or a higher interest rate. Let me give you an example. There's a data report that has your banking activity on it. This is information that many people are not aware that there's a company that's about 25 years old that has been furnishing data reports about your banking activity to creditors, banks, and lending institutions that gives a snapshot of your debits, your credits, your deposits, everything over a 3+ year calendar, all right? And I have copies of my data report for my banking activity that I can prove has been accessed by lenders that I was applying for credit cards and bank loans. They were accessing my data report for banking activity and seeing how much money I had on hand, my average balance, and all of my deposits over 36 months. All right, I had 800 credit scores, so I'm not sure why a banking activity report will be reviewed, but I do know why. Because banks want to mitigate their loss, lenders want to mitigate their loss, and they want to make sure that your credit reports are not the sole document that they review to determine how much credit or if, in fact, they will even give you any credit. All right? That is one report. All right? One data report. Okay? So I have found over 70 data reports. I have employment data reports. Okay? There's a data report where it will define the security of your job, the industry that you work in. How secure is that industry? And what are the statistics of the trajectory of that industry? How well is that industry doing? Is it on the upswing or is that industry on the downswing? And that is a data report that describes the security of your job, which gives bankers and lending institutions some idea of if you will be gainfully employed in the next 3 to 5 years or whatever the actual time frame they're looking at. Okay, that's a data report. That's not on your credit report. That's additional information about your employment history. Okay, there's background data reports. There's insurance data reports. There's prescription data reports. Why would someone want to know your prescription? Because if you're on exotic drugs, it would demonstrate that you are not in full capacity, mental capacity, that is, and you could potentially not be responsible for your actions and be exonerated from the obligation of your debt. Okay, so I can go on and on and on about what data reports are available, but again, look at a data report like it is a granular of sand. And look at sand as it is put together to make a brick, that the brick is the credit report. Okay? And then the building blocks of bricks create the credit score. All right? So the sand, the granular sand or pebbles of sand now have become more and more widely used by banks and lending institutions to review your character, okay? Your collateral, your net worth, your background, your criminal background, your banking activity, okay? Your checking activity, and a host of other data reports. And because this information is not widely known, when I talk to students in the WealthScore Academy, or when I talk to clients in the credit repair program, I have to really explain this well because they aren't familiar with these data reports. And the best explanation I can give is that these reports are like the sand of the beach. Each small granular pebble is a different piece of data about you that's collected by private companies. And they build these small reports, the sand, they build these reports into a brick, which is a grouping of information. And then that brick, they build more and more, put more and more bricks together, and that becomes your credit report, okay? And then the additional data from the bricks become your credit score. So you must know that these data reports are out there and they're affecting you. And the sooner you get this information in your hands, the better off you'll be. And you want to restrict these reports. You want to freeze them. That's the whole idea. Learn what they have. Request them. Review them to make sure they're accurate. Update them if they're not accurate. Then freeze them. And one of the reasons you want to freeze these reports, okay, is because you don't want 70 plus data reports circulating information about you. And there's so much identity theft in America right now. That's the number one crime in America, identity theft, according to the FBI. So you want to restrict these reports because the three credit bureaus have been breached in the last 3 to 5 years. Many of the Fortune 500 companies that we do business with every day, their databases have been breached in the last 3 to 5 years. So these small private companies that are collecting these data reports have a higher risk of being breached than the big Fortune 500 companies. So if you want more information about this, you can go to my website, wealthscorecoach.com. That's wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, score coach, wealthscorecoach.com. Okay, or you can send me an email, support@secretwealthscore.com. support@secretwealthscore.com. Right now, for the Wealth Score Academy, which is my online course, it's a 8 to 12 week course. All right, we have a deep discount right now for $97 to gain access to the Wealth Score Academy for 30 days. A $97 sign up fee to gain access to the Wealth Score Academy for 30 days. So you can try out the information, learn about your data reports, and going forward, understand why these reports are so important to you. I look forward to speaking with you in the next podcast, and I can't wait to see you and train you in the Wealth Score Academy.